You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet.
Ladies and gentlemen, 5 years ago, a man living in Moscow, Idaho, made a statement that startled the whole world, came out with the news of an amazing discovery, an amazing philosophy. The man who made this discovery, who evolved this new philosophy, is Dr. Frank Robinson. And his philosophy is known as Psychiana.
Here is this man, Frank Robinson, who started a mail order religion in Moscow, Idaho, of all places, 6 weeks after the stock market crashes. And he made a fortune by giving people hope, and that hope came at $1 per lesson.
Frank Robinson was selling hope in and around the Depression, and hope can be a very powerful tool. This is a country that's coming out of the First World War. This is a country that's going into the darkest economic time. And so hope sold.
Joining me live in studio to talk more about Idaho Public Television's next Idaho Experience documentary titled Psychiana is producer Bill Manny. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, this is fascinating because this is not something that I think a lot of people, unless they are from North Idaho, have ever heard of.
And even a lot of people in the Moscow area, they know something about it vaguely. It's this kind of odd bit of history, sometimes a little embarrassing kind of history.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's everybody kind of knows the name, but most people don't know the story. And the story is absolutely fascinating.
Okay, so tell me about some of the story. I know you don't want to give all of it away because they have the documentary coming up. But Frank B. Robinson, he founded this, mail order religion.
Yes. He shows up in Moscow, Idaho in 1928. It's right on the cusp of the Depression. He's lived this life of frustration and failure, and he's been in Los Angeles, and he had just failed there again, lost his home, lost his car. He'd worked at drugstores before, so he found this drugstore job in Moscow, Idaho at the beginning of the Depression. He shows up in Moscow. He hates this town. There's horses tethered to the hardware store.
A little bit different than L.A.
He was selling stock in the Hollywood Hotel in L.A. before it collapsed. And so here's a guy who thought he was really on the top of the world, mm-hmm. and now he's selling perfume and aspirin in a drugstore at 3rd and Main in Moscow, Idaho in 1928.
But then he has a dream.
He'd had this dream between Los Angeles and Moscow, and he looked for a job, a business that closed at 6 o'clock at night so he could write his lessons in the evening. So he wrote his lessons in the evening. He borrowed money from his friends. He printed 10,000 copies of his letters and his lessons. And with the last $400, he buys an ad in Psychology Magazine, and the ad says, "I talk to God, literally and actually, and get my lessons, and I can teach you how to do it too." And so the responses start rolling in. Within a year, he claims anyway that he had 600,000 students in 67 countries. He's driving Duesenberg automobiles. He's buying real estate. He buys a luxury home up in the on the edge of town. He goes from poverty to prosperity.
Wow.
Absolutely
and
fascinating.
Well, and what when we played that audio piece, what resonated with me was this idea that hope sells.
Right.
Especially in the time that we were in our country.
Right. So here's a guy who says that the Bible is a hoax, that Jesus wasn't a god, and that basically organized religion is a facade, and that you don't need any of these other aids to tap your inner God power. And if you find the God within you, you can have the success, the happiness, the home, the family, the cars that I've found in Moscow, Idaho. And so, some people call it a cult. I don't call it a cult because all he did, he sold his lessons, a dollar a lesson.
He sold his philosophy.
He sold his philosophy. He didn't control his students. He just wanted their subscription money. So, yes, it became a cult of personality. They wanted him to pray for him. They sent him telegrams asking for healing, but he didn't actually have members who came to Moscow and followed him. It wasn't that kind of cult at all.
Right. There was no actual like church. There was no actual physical building, right?
No ministers, no Bible, no guidebook, right? These lessons kind of taught you how you could practice these meditations and these incantations and you know, these affirmations, and that you could kind of tap the inner God power. What's interesting is early 1920s, 1930s, you know, everything is changing. Evolution. Radio, TV, TV's not there yet, but airplanes are flying. The world is changing so fast, and people are discovering all these interesting things about science. And he basically says, this is a new science. I have discovered the science of God. This is a legitimate legitimate physical law that I have discovered, and I can show you how to discover it too.
What's interesting with that, Bill, is that there are people, even though in this day and age, I mean, fast forward, you know, 80, 90 years, there are people who still have similar belief to this. I mean, they live their life this way.
Yes. What's really interesting, I think, is in the 1930s, when you say when you're saying this, it's pretty radical. But today, just go down to Barnes and Noble, right? Self-help and self-actualization and, you know, the inner life force and the universal life force and Gaia. I mean, there's all these new age religions and not even new age really, but all these alternative religions. Mm-hmm. All of which kind of grow out of this period when people are experimenting and kind of rejecting a religious tradition.
So what ends up happening to Frank B. Robinson then?
Well, I don't want to spoil.
Okay.
No.
All right.
The 1930s, he becomes the biggest private employer in Latah County. He has dozens and dozens.
So who's working for him if there's no building?
He hires out of work women, the wives of servicemen and often students, to assemble all these lessons. This is a giant mail order operation. It becomes one of the largest mail order operations in the nation. The Moscow post office becomes the busiest post office in Idaho, one of the busiest anywhere, because they're sending 10, 20, 30, 40, $50,000 pieces of mail in and out of that post office every day.
So how does this story get lost then? Because that's what's interesting too, is as we were saying that, yes, if you were in Moscow, in Latah County, you might know about this, but a lot of people have no idea.
That's one of the things that intrigued us at public television about deciding to pick this story. It's just because it's such a surprising story and so few people know the nuances. A couple things. Robinson realized that his teachings were controversial, so he didn't sell them in North Idaho. So people knew him as a businessman, as kind of this rebel, kind of this could be cantankerous, hard-driving guy, but they didn't really know him as, you know, the Norman Vincent Peale of his day. Mm-hmm. So the people who did know about it were kind of uncomfortable with it, and so it was sort of embarrassing for Moscow. They liked the business, they liked his contributions to the community. Mm-hmm. He donated money for a park. He started the youth center. He did a lot of really good charitable work, but his philosophy was less well known. And so when he dies, and this hard driving, charismatic leader dies, and his family really can't carry on, there's no structure, right? There's no infrastructure. There's no churches. There's no ministry. It's basically one man, one driven man. And so when he dies, the religion dies with him.
Fascinating.
Absolutely.
And to this day and age, I mean, it's interesting that you say there's kind of an embarrassment around him, because as we get back to what he was teaching, I can understand that it would be controversial. But in this day and age, as we said, people talk like this. I mean, this is something that no one would blink an eye at in this day and age.
Yeah, I think the family was a little embarrassed about it, especially in the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. And then they lived, you know, up until the 70s and 80s. And so a very generous family donated all their materials to the Latah County Historical Society and to the University of Idaho Archives. So there's this massive resource there for researchers. But they didn't really talk. And so there just wasn't a lot known beyond kind of the basics of the story. And I think the family was sensitive. The family was maybe not embarrassed, but they had been the target of a lot of criticism, a lot of attacks, some ostracization.
Right.
And so the family just wanted it to go away, I think.
Gotcha.
So now it's easier to explore, and there aren't all those sensitivities. Mm-hmm.
What was the most surprising thing for you that you learned about this?
Frank Robinson is a fascinating character. And when you get past the photos of him with his Duesenberg and him with his pipe organ and him with his fancy home, he was born in 1886 in this little village in England to a Baptist preacher who was this harsh man. His mother, who he loves, dies. And it's like a Disney fairy tale. Oh. He gets a cruel stepmother. And they send him away. So they fight and fight and fight. They send him away to Canada with his brother when he's a teenager, a young teenager, 14. And he has to make his way on his own. And I think the life he builds is a life basically in rebuke to that bitter, harsh father. And I think understanding the young man helps you understand the older man and this lifelong challenge to tradition and to God and to church. He really feels like he was born into a church that did not live its rhetoric. And that the only way you were going to find God was not in a church and not from a preacher, but within your own heart.
Are there lessons to take away from this today?
I think in the show we conclude that the lesson is, you know, the endless human ability to reinvent yourself. Mm. This man, and the show goes into some of the details about failure after failure. He's as a young man, he feels destined. He feels called by destiny, and yet he fails and fails and fails. And yet he shows up in Moscow, Idaho, in the Depression at age 43, and builds this amazing life. Now, some people thought he was a charlatan. Some people thought he was a con man. Some people thought he was a ripoff artist. But nonetheless, his ability to keep on going despite all these tragedies and all these failures is a real testament to human resilience.
So the documentary will be next week.
Yes, and it's called Idaho's Mail Order Messiah. It's at 8:30 on Idaho Public Television, and then it will be streaming after that at Idaho Public Television, idahoptv.org.
All right. Thank you so much. This is a fascinating story, Bill.
Well, thank you for letting me tell it.
Absolutely. My guest today, Idaho Public Television producer Bill Manny, talking about the Idaho Experience upcoming documentary. You can see it next week on Idaho Public Television. And as Bill said, after that online. Thanks again, Bill.
Thank you.